Ever since Yaroslav Hašek first thought him up in the early 1920s, the good soldier Švejk has been one of the best-loved characters in Czech literature, as he passively and comically undermines the authority of the Austrian monarchy. In Czech Books this week, David Vaughn meets one of the foremost Švejkologists from outside the Czech Republic.
I started corresponding with the Norwegian Švejkologist, Jomar Hrnci, after devoting a recent edition of Czech Books to a new English translation of some of Jaroslav Hašek's short stories. The stories capture some of Hašek's dramatic adventures during the First World War, which took him to the far east of Russia and back. And these same experiences inspired Hašek's great work, The Adventures of the Good Soldier Švejk. Like so many readers over the generations, Jomar Hrnci fell in love with the book, and he had the idea of following in the footsteps of Hašek and his fictional antihero. His fascination has taken him halfway across the world and led him to set up a remarkable Švejk website. Last week, Jomar Hrnci was in Prague on one of his frequent visits to this country, and I asked him how it all started.
The first time I became conscious of Hašek was actually in the British Rough Guide, around 1990, I think it was. And then I borrowed Švejk in a library and read it and became utterly fascinated. From 2004 onwards, I started to research more thoroughly what was behind Hašek and the circumstances, the time he lived in, and what could have inspired this great novel.
You come from rural Norway, originally. I'm wondering what on earth it was that obviously created some sort of affinity that you felt with this writer and with his most famous character, Švejk, who is a symbol, I suppose, of the little man passively resisting the military, bureaucracy, everything that went with the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It seems a long way away from the world that you come from.
I already had a lot of interests that sort of came together in Švejk. Let's start with geography is an important part of it. History, the Czech lands, of course, the Czech pubs, the beer, travelling, not the least, it's all there. So I was sort of ready-made for Švejk, I think. But it's not only that. I obviously appreciate the incredible satirical effect of it, how it sort of uncovers all sorts of nonsense. Hašek was an excellent bullshit detector. That's the word that Joseph Heller used in Catch-22, but I think it's just as relevant to Hašek.
And in the present day, when so many public figures spend so much time trying to cultivate their public image, we really need some good bullshit detectors, don't we?
There are still power structures that abuse their subjects. These exist, and they will always exist. So Švejk will always be relevant, whatever happens, whoever rules, wherever, whenever.
And you began to be interested in Švejk at just the right time, because it was just at the time when borders were beginning to open, and you took advantage of that, didn't you?
I did. In 2010, I did a half-year trip in the footsteps of Jaroslav Hašek.
So you just gave up your job, dropped everything, and headed off?
They were very good. They let me have 6 months off. So I'm eternally thankful to the people who actually allowed me to do that. I couldn't have done this in 1990. I couldn't have travelled in Russia freely as I did 20 years ago. It would have been a practical nightmare with spot visas and prepaid accommodation and probably as much work preparing it as doing the travelling itself.
So there was less bureaucracy, but there must have been an enormous amount of preparation involved in choosing where to go and why.
My first inspiration I got actually from a map in Cecil Parrott's translation. I thought, this is a good itinerary.
This is in the famous English translation of Švejk.
Of Švejk from the 70s. I followed this little map in 2004, not precisely. And then I met people who actually inspired me further. One of them was Dr. Pavel Gahn in Göttingen. Another one, actually Richard Hašek, the grandson of Jaroslav Hašek. And then in 2008, I was, to my big surprise, invited to a Hašek conference at Lipnice by Richard Hašek. And that was the turning point. I started to make the web page, decided, well, I'm going to do this trip now.
And to explain a little bit to people who don't know Hašek, he had the most extraordinary adventures during the First World War, travelling first in the Austro-Hungarian army, then in the Czechoslovak legions, then in the Red Army, really from Central Europe all the way to Siberia. There must have been a lot of research to do to work out where he went and when.
Yes, absolutely. The first stage of the trip, I did the easy way. I followed Schweik, and by now, by 2010, I knew exactly where those places were. So I actually did it. And that stage ended in Zhovtansi in the Ukraine, just northeast of Lviv, by the river Bug. So that was easy. It was more difficult after, when I decided to follow what presumably would have been Schweik's route, which was Hašek's own odyssey through the Ukraine, in captivity in Russia, back in the Czechoslovak Legion. He crossed over to the Bolsheviks in circumstances that are disputed even today, but he did. He spent 2 years in the Red Army and then returned to Prague, where he gave up politics, it seems, and started to drink and to write Schweik. So I followed Hašek from various sources in Russia, and based on these sources I made an itinerary, which roughly, I think, corresponds to Hašek's own trip. As far as Irkutsk, and beyond Lake Baikal, to a place called Guzinoye Ozera, it's almost in Mongolia, and then I started to retreat to Europe, also by train to Narva in Estonia, and back through Germany, Berlin, to Prague.
And when you were travelling to all these places, did you find that people in the towns that you were visiting knew about the connection with Hašek and with Schweik?
Almost everyone knew who Schweik was and who Hašek was, almost without exceptions, throughout, from Austria to Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, Ukraine, Russia. But they were more bemused by the fact that I, as a Norwegian, actually travel in the footsteps of Jaroslav Hašek. A lot of people just couldn't understand it. They shook their heads. And they asked where I was from Norway. Ah, very cold, they said, even in Siberia.
And did you find that people tended to identify with him?
A lot of them had obviously read the book, and it's still very popular in Russia and Poland and Hungary and everywhere in those countries where Hašek actually was. And in the Ukraine there are some wonderfully illustrated editions of the novel.
And I understand that there's not just interest in Schweik and in Hašek in the countries of the former Soviet Union, but there are also Schweik pubs.
Yes, I went to one first in Moscow where there was not only Czech beer but also sushi. I don't know if Schweik would have approved of such a combination, but sushi is very popular in Russia. But from then on, well, there's one pub in Samara, that's a Schweik pub, lovely pub. There's a Schweik pub in Omsk. There's another one in Irkutsk, which is particularly good. That's a very nice pub in Ulitsa Karla Marksa.
And as you were travelling, obviously with Schweik in mind, did you find yourself at times imagining that you were reliving some of these stories? Did you have your own adventures which somehow made you feel that you were getting under the skin, let's say, of both Schweik and Hašek?
I wouldn't say that, because the circumstances are so different. There was nobody there shooting at me. The worst thing I experienced was the insects biting, and people nicked my computer and my camera. But I can't imagine what he went through and what the soldiers went through. But I got the geographical sense of what Hašek did, the enormous distances and the changing circumstances we was in. He was on many sides in this conflict. He was an Austrian soldier, he became a Czech rebel, or he even identified with the Tsarist regime for a while, because they were anti-Austrian, not for anything else, I think. And then he became a Bolshevik, and suddenly he wasn't probably a Bolshevik anymore. He became a bohemian, an author again, and then unfortunately he died from his bohemian lifestyle, I guess.
And I have to draw our listeners' attention to your website, because it really is absolutely labyrinthine, all the different links that you have there to different aspects of Schweik's adventures in the novel, Hašek's own journey, and also you have links to all sorts of other academic research and to other websites. It does show all the ominous signs of obsession, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is a trait I've had in other areas. Well, I've gone very deep into hobbies when I've had hobbies. I was a light bulb collector when I was a kid, and I was a very serious light bulb collector.
And if you can give us the website where we can find the page.
It's honsi.org, and from there on you'll find links to the Schweik part of the webpage.
And Honsi, I should say, is spelled H-O-N-S-I. Let's just have a quick look at the website. We've got a computer in front of us here. It's beautifully designed, which is actually your day job is as a computer expert.
I am a computer software engineer, design engineer, and also a programmer. And I wouldn't say my profession is web design, but I know the mechanisms behind it, which partly overlaps with my work.
You've just opened here Places, and you've got all the different places that are mentioned in the novel and links from them.
Yes, I think at the moment I've got about 650 places that are mentioned in the novel. But there are more. I have to add more than 150 over the next year or so to sort of get it reasonably complete. I thought it was complete, but it wasn't.
And you've also got people who figure in the novel. You've got background about the author, about Hašek. It's all there, isn't it?
Well, in Norwegian, it's relatively complete. In English, I'm only up to doing the people and the places and a short tourism section.
And what's going to be the next step? Clearly, you haven't worked through your obsession with Hašek just yet, with Schweik. So what's the next step?
I aim to complete the web pages, particularly on the geography and on the people in the novel. And then I do more specific, more, if you like, scientific, in quotes, work. Like I visit archives and photo documents and digitalize them and make them available to others who would never have a chance to go to an archive here, for instance.
And finally, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you share Schweik's love of beer.
Yes, absolutely. For 20 or more years, I've been interested in beer, and I try to taste as many as possible. Not necessarily to drink as much as possible, but sometimes it happens that the overindulgence can happen. And I particularly like the atmosphere in the Czech pubs. The beer is consistently good.
And it's interesting that you do have a bit of a look of one of Josef Lada's drawings that illustrate Schweik. I'm sure that there's an affinity that goes very deep down inside you.
This is the first time I've heard, but there could be an affinity that I'm not able myself to analyse, and it's an interesting thought.
Jumar Hönsi, thank you very much indeed for taking some time out during your current trip to Prague to talk to Radio Prague.
Thank you.